Hello everyone, welcome again to Heart to Heart. It is a blessing and a privilege to serve the living God. You know, not only did the Lord come for us, and he made us in the first place, and he made us in his image to do his perfect will. He had all of our best interests at heart. And we have to operate just like him, being made in his image. And we speak words of faith and direct our lives. The word of God is not written to where we sit back and wait on the will of God to happen. It's written so that we're proactive. We speak the things that must happen in our lives. If we don't, it won't happen. Anything that you desire, hear me good, anything that you desire, you have to speak it. And you have to perform it. If you want good things in your life, that's what you have to speak. You have to determine your own life. You have to determine how it's going to go. Nothing should be left to happenstance. Not even when we're trying to obey God. It's our responsibility to learn his ways and then operate according to his perfect word. And if we don't, our lives won't turn out right. Operating like God, I know we don't have the knowledge that he has and the wisdom. But he made his wisdom and his knowledge accessible to us. And we're designed to operate no different than him, which is by faith. As long as we're in faith, we can access heaven. It doesn't matter how skilled you are. It doesn't matter what you lack. It doesn't matter what you don't know. We are able to learn. And if we can commune with the Lord, we can learn from him. But we are designed to operate no different than he does. We're made in his image, in his likeness, even with his character. And you have to look at the first place. What was God up to? He made Adam. He said, let us make man in our image. Now the Lord is a three-part being. This lets us know that we're made just like he is. He's a spirit. He has a body and a soul. And so do we. Now Jesus is the body of Christ. Jesus is the body of the Lord. He became a man. Before that, he was the Word. He is the firstborn among many brethren. And he died in our place so that we can be righteous again. So the Lord is determined. He made us righteous in the first place. Man died. And then he put things in motion so that we could live again. And now we're righteous in the second place because of Jesus Christ. So it's settled. God wants us to be holy just like he's holy. And 1 Peter said, be holy as he's holy. God is holy, be ye holy. God is determined for us to live no different than him. Then he gave us the kingdom and everything that we need to access the kingdom of God. He gave us authority. God has authority over Satan. He gave man authority. Jesus said, all power is given to me in heaven and earth. And the same day, right after he said that, see, the last chapter of St. John is also the first chapter of Acts. All the things he spoke before he ascended, the last chapter of Mark, Matthew, John, and Luke, and Acts, that's the same day. So he said, all power in heaven and earth is given to me. And they asked him about what he set his kingdom of. He said, the Lord put that in his own power. Then he said, I give unto you power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you. in Mark's account, he said we've been given power and to take the gospel all over the earth. The Lord is one. His word is one. He's determined to do all these wonderful things. And we're involved in his perfect will. Once we have an understanding of what God is doing and what his will is for us, we learn what our place is. And it's no different than doing what he does. God leaves a pattern of good works wherever he goes. Wherever he's been, he did something good there. And that's how we're supposed to operate, according to his love. If you want to know how to walk in love, study first chapter of Peter, and the second chapter, and the third chapter, and the fourth chapter, and the fifth chapter of Peter. Now, they divided it up into chapters, and it's good for a reference. But the original writing was one chapter, because one chapter follows the thought of the next. I mean, every chapter follows the thought of the previous chapter. It starts off with words like likewise. See, chapter 2 follows chapter 1. Chapter 3 follows chapter 2. It's a continuing chapter. It's a continuing thought. Every chapter Every chapter is a continuing thought of the previous. But that's your school of love. First John chapter 1 and 2 and 3, they give us principles of love that we need. Love is light in 1 John. It shows us if you can walk in love, you can see things more clearly. You can have the understanding. You can see the word as it is without the cold religious glasses that people want you to wear. You know, people like to, when people are always soothsaying, people say you got on rose-colored glasses. Well, sometimes people have on religious glasses, cold religious, anti-Christ religious glasses. Cold religion takes away the power of God from you, in your eyes, in your thoughts. It takes God out of your opinions. And you live in a system that will not work. Every time you take the word of God out of context, it's just a devil with a preacher's face. That's all cold religion is. To the Pharisees, it was just a devil with Moses' face. They had all the writings and misinterpreted everything. When Jesus came to his own received him not. And also they tried to have him killed. Even Pilate didn't want to have anything to do. As crazy as Herod was, he didn't want to have anything to do with it. Cold religion is your worst enemy on the earth. Cold religion ruins everything. It takes the world by the nose. Like a pit bull takes a bull by the nose and bring him down. Cold religion takes the world system by the nose and turns it into a terrorist. The world itself is bad enough. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. It will implode itself. It will come to nothing if it goes unchecked. And if there was no Christians on the earth would not be here anymore. Men would have killed each other. Just like the first generation. All over the earth there are ancient cities that's well built, made of cement. All their monuments and totem posts, all the things that they made, their relics, their writings, their glyphs that they left behind. People wonder where they went. They died in the flood. They are gone. They are buried in the murk and mire. Remember, when the flood came, the great deep broke, and they were swallowed up. They were stuck, and then it flooded. And people wonder, where did these people go? Why did they leave? The History Channel, they want to say aliens came and got them. No, they died in the flood. They're dead. All over the earth, there are places like that. Remember, back then, that was a lot of people. People lived almost 1,000 years. It was possibly as many people then. Now, it was possibly as many people on earth then as it is now. Only 8 souls survived, Moses and his wife, and their 3 sons, and their sons' wives. Everybody else drowned in the flood water. They were so wise that the great deep had to break first to trap them, then it rained. The things of God are important to understand. Cold religion has excluded facts that it should not have excluded, and given people a false opinion of the character of God and the will of God. See, man wants to be in charge through pride. Some people, this is not a race thing, or a man thing, or a woman thing, or even a religious thing. It's sin. It's a problem. It's a people thing. People want to be in charge of their lives without regard to God, just like Satan did. And that's why Satan gets his that's why Satan can so easily influence people, because they want something that God didn't give. We're supposed to look to the Lord. If we're made in His likeness, that suggests that we need to learn who He is and do what He does at our will. Not because we fear danger, but because it's right. Not because we fear judgment, which is a good thing to fear judgment, but God wants us to look at Him and do as He does because we love Him. He wants us to share the same pattern of love that He represents. At our will, He wants us to choose to do this. He doesn't want us to reluctantly love people. What if your spouse reluctantly loved you? Well, I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. It's your birthday. I bought you something because I love you so much, because I'm supposed to. Come on, we're not robots. We're not God's robots. We're God's people. He wants us to be people. Even the Lord Himself is a person. He is a being just like we are. He loves just like we're supposed to love. He loves willingly. God didn't say, even Jesus didn't lay down His life because he was supposed to. He loved us. He did it because He loved us. Now His flesh, you know, He knew how bad it would be. He had to gird up the loins of His mind just like we have to. He knew He was going to battle. He knew it was going to hurt. He cried out, if there's another way. Because, you know, with God, all things are possible. And God could have done it another way. And had the same result, but He said, not my will, thy will be done. And He did it on purpose. He did it out of revelation love. He understood us. He understood. He was our high priest, laying down His life for us. Willingly. Determined willingness. That's who died for us. So when the enemy come and say, you got a problem and it's not being solved, why don't God see you with this problem? Why don't He heal you? Why don't He do this? Why don't He do that? God's relentless love died for you. And He left us in good shape. It's up to us to learn His word and use it like we're supposed to, like we can. He's not going to come and do it for us. If you have a daughter and she goes off to college and you give her a debit card, and you tell her every month I'm going to put $400 in your account. You have to use it wisely, and you have to do the things you're supposed to do. And once I deposit it, I will text you, and you'll know it's there, or I'll call you and tell you. All right. Now, Monday morning she gets up. She'll say, the money's already in there. You've already told her. Now, what if she called you at 6 in the morning? I need to buy some coffee. Or I need to buy a book. You don't want her to call you every time she's about to buy something. You left that in her charge. She's supposed to use her own wisdom and use the money wisely and not run out. And that's a reasonable request. Anybody with good sense will know what to do. You expect her to know what to do. She got a scholarship. She's doing what she's smart. And she's shown herself wisely, so you're able to do this. You can't put $400 in anybody's account, because some children are foolish. They'll go partying, mess all the money up. But your daughter's wise, and she does what she's supposed to. You expect her to do what's wise. So it is with God. He made us in His image, out to His likeness. We're supposed to, if we feel depressed, put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. And we combat it. If we're sick, believe the word of God, that by His stripes we're healed. We don't have to ask God for healing again. We just receive it. We learn to take the promise for what it is at our will and do what we're supposed to do. Don't go bury the talents God gave, because that's stupid. And the Lord showed us in a nice way how foolish it is. The Lord wants us to use what we receive wisely. He wants us to think, use our wit, our everything. We're made in His image. Think about how your life wants to be. Think about how you want your life to be. And I know how it is to, I teach a lot about following God and regarding Him, His word first. But with that, He still wants us to think. Now, for years, I did things the way I thought He wanted me to do it. And one day, He just out of the blue spoke to me and said, "How do you want your life to be?" And I had to just rethink. I wasn't even thinking about how I wanted things to be. I spent my time just trying to do what I thought He wanted me to do. And the Lord wants you to use your mind and think. But when you study His word and receive what He's saying, you know, the spirit of the word will help you to receive the knowledge you need to go forward. And then you can access the will of God. You can, in other words, you can live God's will in your life, because you study His word, you know what He said, you know what He stands, you know where He stands, you know what He expects, and then you use your wisdom and logic to do it. You're in obedience. You have to do it because that's what you want to do. Nobody makes us obey God. That's what we desire to do. I love God. I desire to serve Him. I desire to be a blessing to others. I desire His will and His ways. And that's what God is after. Just like your spouse, you want your spouse to love you for you. Not because they're supposed to. Even your children, they want you to love them for them. You can do all the things that they need you to do. You can take care of them, send them to school. But they want you to love them for them. And that's just the way it is. That's just life. Such is life. As we obey the Lord, our God and King, and take him at his word, we can do the greater works. We can do the things, our lives can be as wonderful as we desire it to be. We can go forward in him. We can soar in life. We can be like the eagle rather than the chicken. And it's important to know who we are in him, the abilities that he's given us are true. But cold religion tries to take it away. Cold religion will tell the world lies about God. False doctrine has creeped into the church. The way of the Pharisee is still here. It works with the pride and lust of men. According to 2 Peter chapter 2 and also Jude. And as much as I hate to think about false prophets and their witchcraft, you have to understand it to avoid it. It's not God's will to dishonor God. It's not God's will to believe the wrong things about God. It's not God's will for you to not be blessed. God wants you blessed. He wants you to be healthy. He wants you to be happy, wealthy, and wise in every way. Not greedy. The Lord wants us to be like him. He don't want us to be spoiled brat type people. You know, he doesn't want us to be selfish and spoiled brat type people. He wants us to live like he lives. Do what he does. But religious ideology, cold religion, will tell us, well, you praying for healing, that might not be God's will. He might want to take you home. Find the scripture where Jesus said it's not God's will, he want to take you home. There is no scripture such as that, because that God don't go around desiring to take people home. He wants you to live your life and be satisfied in life. Now, your body's going to wear out. We need healing so that we can access life, so we can have a blessed life all our days. If we need medical help, we just need medical help. That does not refute the fact that God heals people. Even when God heals us, or whatever he heals us from, it does not stop the fact that our body's going to wear out and we're going to die. But I can believe God so that I can have strength and energy to fulfill his will until I finish before I die. I can believe God that I'm strong enough and well enough and blessed enough to help take care of my children until they can take care of themselves before I die. I need to be here to pray for people that I love. Because people in heaven, they don't pray. They can't believe God for people. When you die, you're done. You have to have a body to pray on the earth and affect people. Now, you can pray and believe God for things before you die, and God will still honor your faith because you did it while you were on the earth. But once you're gone, you're gone. And whatever, you just desire your... Well, everybody who died in the Lord, they know they have children here, and they want their children to come there where they are, and they long for their children to make it to heaven after they finish their life. They want them to come when they're old, when they pass. They want them to come to heaven, and they don't want them to have premature accidents and come premature. They want them to live a full life and leave a legacy and then come to heaven, because they can. They know, they understand things more properly outside of the lost world of cold religion. And sometimes their children don't make it. But they can't go and say, well, Lord, I won't save my child. Because people here have to do it. People here have to believe God and live the life of God so that people can get saved. The word has to be. That's why parents must teach their children the ways of God. If you have five children, you want the full benefit of all five children loving and following God so that their descendants will be stronger and more apt to serve God. But your child that stops taking the children to church and stops teaching about God, some people, they can love God and know God and won't teach their children right. They won't teach their children about the Lord. And they let them watch anything on TV. And they grow up wild like weeds. Well, because they stray and because they don't know the Lord, the enemy is going to set some traps for them. It always happens. Hopefully, somebody else will win that child to the Lord. But the parents need to be the first ones trying. And when they fail, if you fail, and if one of them go to the opposite way of God, not only will they be lost, but the chances are higher that their descendants will be lost as well. And Satan's not just trying to spoil them in deception. He's trying to get them to choose to be rebellious. Satan would always rather have rebellion than deception. God can get people out of deception if their heart is good. But Satan's trying to get people into rebellion to where they resist God. And they do it on purpose. And they hold, he wants them to be the kind of people that know what's right and choose what's wrong. Because those are the kind of people that will be judged. The judgment of God is going to fall on people who hold the truth in unrighteousness. And all of that comes about from a misunderstanding of who God is and what he's given us to do. You can't grow properly with misnomers. You have to believe God and take him at his word. Or you can't grow properly. It's impossible. We all share the responsibility of learning the word of God, practicing it in life, and going forward on purpose, willingly, and determined. I love, the way of love and willing, determined obedience. Now, the last broadcast we did, we talked about the heart cases. If you have a situation that seems to be a satanic stronghold, and it's hard to get rid of, it's hard to make things right. It's hard to get things in God's will again in that area. Some people have a struggle to prosper. Some people have a struggle to get a certain illness healed or their children on track. It's something that's a hard case. The Lord made provisions for you. And you're just going to have to learn what they are and force it by faith. You may not be skilled at it. You may not be good at doing it. You may not know where to begin. Study the word of God, find the cure for your problem, and believe God for that. Don't look at the problem. Don't look at what you lack knowledge of. Don't look at your skill level. Only look at what God said. Look at him. If you can look at him, if he can be your focus long enough, you can kill that problem. And you can bring things to life that's about to die. Cold religion says otherwise, but it's just a liar with a preacher's face. Cold religion is a lie trying to use Jesus' face. Cold religion is a lie spoken by people in God's name, and they're lying. The word of God is the will of God every day, all day, full time, and forever. I don't know a better way to say this. I'm trying my best. And I thank God for the anointing. Have ears to hear. God can teach you whatever it is you lack knowledge of, and you're going to have what you say. Demand it, because God gave it to you. His word is his will. I'm out of time. The Lord is not. He'll continue to mightily move in your life. Till next time, remember, I love you. God loves you, and Jesus is our Lord.